SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. Let's get you set for a Football Friday in the football weekend ahead. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Lisi guy, week 6 of the NFL is on the horizon. It started last night in Seattle. We recap Thursday night football ahead of 12 games on a robust Sunday slate. And each and every summer, Joe, you and I here on Football Full Circle, together in conversations and in group chats, we talk about a new college football season. We get ready. We get excited. We circle the dates on the calendar we think are going to be the best for a season. That's what we have tomorrow. Week 7, Saturday, October 12th. The second full Saturday of this college football campaign. What a football weekend ahead here on FFC.
Oh, it is. It's rivalry weekend, right? We have top 25 battles, top 5 battles. But I don't know. Is it the best that we've ever seen? I don't know, Ben. I mean, we got 2 14.5-point spreads. Oklahoma, Texas. But I love it. I love it, baby. I do love it. You know I'm amped up. But I'm not. No, I'm serious. I love it. It's great.
I give.
I love. And I build, I know you do.
And I build.
Next week might be better.
No, next week might be better.
Next week might be better.
Listen, we've lost a little bit of luster. There is no doubt we lost a little bit of luster with USC losing last week to Minnesota out in the Twin Cities. That should have been our 4th ranked versus ranked top 25 tilt. Might have been our 3rd top 15 tilt. And you add in the Red River rivalry. But with all the Oklahoma offensive woes and injuries, that's not exactly expected to be a close banger of a game. But we still got Iowa State. Perfect in the Big 12. Perfect this season on the road in Morgantown. We've got a Big 12 banger in Boulder on Saturday night between 18th ranked K-State. And if the Buffs under Deion Sanders can be an actual conference contender. And I build up the atmosphere and the excitement. I talk about our shared mutual experiences. And the first thing you say, I'm not even sure it's that good. Don't do that tomorrow.
I would never do it tomorrow, but why not? I threw you a curveball. You weren't expecting it. I threw you a little curveball. Come on.
I'll tell you what.
We got a dandy ACC battle taking place in Raleigh with Fran Brown and the Syracuse Orange taking on the NC State Wolfpack. How about that the radar game? I'm juicing you up with your guy, Kyle McCord. 40 of 63 for 355 and 3 tutties last week. Come on.
You smell that? That smells like fish. That is a fishy line with a dreadful NC State team only being a 3.5-point underdog at home in Raleigh. All right, let's get to the order of business today. Each and every Football Friday, we start with a recap of Thursday night football. We preview every single game, all 12 for a Sunday slate here in week number 6. And we'll look at those marquee matchups in a great weekend of college football. All right, we start on Thursday night, an NFC West showdown in Seattle between the Seahawks and the 49ers. Lisi guy, previewing the game yesterday with you, we both pretty much had the same consensus feeling. If San Francisco is truly the NFC favorites, if the 49ers are a front runner once again to win a Lombardi trophy this year, you go into Seattle, albeit on a short week, albeit against a divisional foe, and you win rather comfortably on the road. And you probably do so by scoring some points against a subpar Seattle defense. And that's exactly what happened. The 49ers win 36-24, covering as a 3.5-point road favorite. Total closed at 48 and a hook. Joe, it skies over 36-24. That's 60 combined points. San Francisco looking the ilk of an NFC contender last night.
Yeah, they did, and I've never been so right on a cap and just break out even in regards to the, you know, the revenue that I didn't generate last night. You know, with Brock Purdy throwing for 255 yards in that matchup, got over his pregame total of 252.5. Jordan Mason, when he was in there, he did get hurt in the second half, but that offensive line was blowing Seattle right off the ball. They were able to run it, which opened up the play-action passing game, and their defense forced critical turnovers over Geno Smith. Seattle's now lost three straight. They're coming back down to earth, and that's what you wanted to see if you're a San Fran fan. Come back, go on the road, dominate, and that's a double-digit win against a divisional opponent, a quality win. Credit Kyle Shanahan for having that team ready.
And Joe, that's really where it is, right? First 3 weeks of the year, Seattle starts off a perfect 3-0. The Niners sub 500, 1-2. Entering last night, the Seahawks were the team with the winning record at 3-2. Seattle still below San Francisco, excuse me, still below 500. Now both at 3-3. And by virtue of the victory, the 49ers back atop the NFC West at this moment. And it was because, Joe, of Seattle's 3-0 start that we all tried to poke holes in and claim slightly fraudulent that we are seeing this Seahawks team perform the way they have in their last three losses in a row. They are just 1-4-1 against the spread this year now. They are 0-2 ATS as an underdog. They've been a dog of 4 points or less, and they have lost by at least 12 points in both of those games. And although Geno Smith threw for 312 last night, has more than 1,700 this year, and is the NFL's leading passer, both entering week six and probably will be at the end of it, he's got 6 touchdowns to 6 interceptions, multiple INTs last night. The offense never really got going. There was a point at the end of the third quarter after a LaVisca Chenault 97-yard kickoff return touchdown and a Kenneth Walker III short yardage plunge into the end zone that the Seahawks did make it just a 6-point single-score game. And some of the issues that San Francisco had last week up by double digits against Arizona started to creep back into the mind. But the 49ers from there do pull away, win, and cover. Big day for San Francisco, Joe. What did the Niners show you on Thursday night?
Again, that defense, and that was the biggest question mark. They bounced back with a big effort. They pressured Geno Smith multiple times. Yes, they gave up some big plays, but at the end of the day, they forced turnovers, and that's what you want to see big picture in regards to this team moving forward, not just for a division championship, but potentially an NFC championship, being the front runners entering that matchup and with a plus 420 price. So again, it wasn't as clean as it could have been, but it's a short week on the road. And that's what I needed to see. Turnovers and the ability for Brock Purdy to take over a game when it mattered. He did that. Some big throws to Debo Samuel and some big throws to Kittle to really pull that ball game out.
And Joe, that's a huge part of it. Seattle's defense has struggled this year. They have allowed at least 29 points in their three losses. 6 of the 29 against the Giants were, of course, on a blocked kick returned for a touchdown. But Seattle as a team has given up at least 20 points in 5 of 6 games, over in 5 of 6. San Francisco, a favorite in all 6 games this year. They have covered in all 3 wins. All 3 wins have led to an over from that total perspective. And Brock Purdy entered last night, throwing multiple interceptions a week ago in the loss to the Cardinals. 3 touchdowns, no turnovers against the Hawks. 2 of those 3 touchdowns to George Kittle. That Seahawk connection is prolific. Some injury concern around Jordan Mason, but they got off to a great start on the ground. 9 for 73 for Mason, who only played 1 play in the second half. Isaac Garendo, the rookie, 10 carries for 99 yards. Joe, there is some worry, I would say, of course, with Christian McCaffrey on injured reserve and no real timetable for when he might return of the playmakers in the backfield for San Francisco. But now atop the NFC West and the price to win the NFC shorter on this Friday morning, plus 440 is now plus 360. The Sunday slate, a full breakdown and preview next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
This is my favorite part of the week here on a Football Friday on FFC. We preview the entirety of a Sunday slate in the National Football League. It is week number 6. After this Sunday and Monday, and this week concludes a third of the NFL season already in the books. It's also my favorite time of the week because I share my thoughts on an NFL game and Joe adds them to the human algo to fade me at all costs. All right, Lacey guy, let's go in chronological order for the second consecutive week. Sunday starts early. Abroad to London we go once again. The Jags, very comfortable across the pond, taking on the Bears. A near pick'em on the money line, minus 116 in favor of Chicago, but minus 102 for Jacksonville. Total 44.5, 1.5 points only in the spread in favor of the Bears. Who wins in Tottenham on Sunday?
I like Jacksonville, and I was talking about Jacksonville big picture with Wetzel the other day, Ben, in the sense of could they pull what they did last year in regards to this year, start out 0-4 and then potentially maybe reel off 7 or 8 wins. I know the schedule is very difficult, but in terms of this particular spot, they got the first one under their belt against Joe Flacco and the Colts. They typically play very well overseas in regards to these type of situations. And Caleb Williams, all 3 wins have come at home. So this is, even though it's a neutral field in regards to this type of breakdown, I still lean to Trevor Lawrence and Jacksonville in this matchup. They're catching 1.5. I think they can run the football with their new star, Tank Bigsby. That'll take the pressure off of Lawrence. And you know what? I like them to strike the upset and move to 2-4 on the year.
Yeah, Joe, this will be the 12th game in London for this Jags franchise. They are 6-5 straight up. They are 2-0 straight up in last season. They played 2 games back-to-back in London for the first time. It's what they'll do this year as well. They won both of those games outright as a 5.5-point dog in their second one against Buffalo. And to your point, Lisey guy, the Jaguars last year started 1-2, go to London, get their season on track, and won 5 straight games. The rest of the season would hit the skids in just a few weeks after that with the injuries to Trevor Lawrence. But there is that track record for Jacksonville to have success over across the pond. And as you said, Chicago is 3-2 this year, all 3 wins at home, all 3 wins booked as a home favorite inside Soldier Field. Caleb Williams in his 2 games away from the Windy City, multiple interceptions in both, has not turned the football over at home. This one, of course, is away, albeit a neutral site, but over in London. At least you got one of the best games of Sunday in the Charm City. The 4-1 Commanders, the 3-2 Ravens on a 3-game win streak. 6.5-point spread in favor of Baltimore. Total, second highest of the weekend, 51.5. At least you got, before we get into it, 4 Heisman Trophy winners match up in this game. Can you name all 4 between the Commanders and the Ravens?
Jaden Daniels, Lamar Jackson. I'm thinking all 4 Heisman Trophy winners
in this game. One more on each team. We got 2. Think.
I don't know. I got to think now. Now I'm thinking backups. I'm thinking, I know I'm thinking backups, but I keep thinking Huntley, and he's not there. He's on the Dolphins.
Also,
but he never won
a Heisman.
They got to be quarterbacks.
The most recent running back to win the Heisman.
Oh, Derrick Henry in 2015. And then.
Who's the backup QB in Washington?
All right. Now you got me
Marcus
thinking.
Mariota.
It's
a good one, right?
I was thinking Carson Wentz. Yeah, bad.
No.
Bad.
No. Listen.
But I got Jaden Daniels. You know, that's the thing, though. That you got me twisted.
Thank
you. You got me twisted on that one. I was still thinking the backup quarter. Even though I know he's on the Dolphins, I kept thinking Huntley. I'm going, who's the backup? In Baltimore there. It's crazy. It's nuts.
I don't even know. Trace McSorley? But no, he didn't win a Heisman Trophy at Penn
State. It is McSorley, isn't it?
I think they cut him. Anyway, let's get to the game itself. 6.5-point spread, Joe, in favor of the Ravens. 51.5 against second highest total of the weekend. How do you see this game playing out between a 4-1 team that's getting near a touchdown on the road?
I'm going to get in trouble with this one, and I know Baltimore's dominant at home, but I really like the way Jaden Daniels and that team are playing. They're playing a little bit with house money. They're playing fast and loose the way I like teams, and they're really not thinking about their opponent. They're just going out there and playing football. And the way Dan Quinn has transformed the defense that has been more, good against the run and forcing turnovers, I like that recipe heading into this matchup. Again, I know Lamar and that team on paper are the more dominant team, but the spread, 6.5, 7, you want to give me that with Jaden Daniels, I'll take it. And again, I think we're going to see points, Ben. 51.5, I think we blow through that total.
Both teams over in 4 of 5 games this year. The Ravens defense not nearly as good this season, allowing more than 25 points per game as they were a year ago. Washington has won 4 straight. Baltimore has won 3 straight. They have covered in all of their wins this season. And of course, Joe, we do need to share the quarterback props. Jaden Daniels, 224.5 in terms of pass yards, 221.5 for Lamar Jackson. But it's not just what they do with their right arms. It's also their legs. 48.5 for Daniels, 55.5 for Lamar. Lamar Jackson playing like a 2-time NFL MVP winner so far this season. Jaden Daniels, more history. The only quarterback in NFL history through their first 5 career starts to total 1,000 passing yards and at least 250 rushing yards. He's got more than 1,100 passing and more than 300 on the ground. How good, Joe, if the Commanders are going to cover, does Jaden Daniels need to look on Sunday?
Again, he doesn't have to put up 275. I think they can win it if he plays in the area 225, 250. Critical thing is do not turn the football over and add some rushing yards, 30 or 40. They'll be just fine.
We'll continue previewing the Sunday slate next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Ball Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Let's continue diving through the entirety of the Sunday slate. It is our charge here on a Football Friday on FFC. Joe, it's been a difficult week, of course, in Tampa, Florida. Our thoughts, our prayers, everything that is needed down there in that area, hit by a second hurricane in as many weeks. Anybody dealing with the issues and aftermath of Hurricane Milton, we do feel for you. Because of it, the Buccaneers left early this week. They have been practicing at Tulane Stadium in New Orleans ahead of a huge NFC South matchup against the Saints on Sunday in the Big Easy. As we shared yesterday, Spencer Rattler, the 5th-round pick out of South Carolina, named the starter for New Orleans. 3.5-point spread in favor of the Buccaneers on the road. Critical divisional game, Joe. What plays out?
Well, again, obviously you want to see that passing attack take over. Baker Mayfield moved the football but only had 180 passing yards in the 36-30 loss to Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. They go on the road. You have a rookie quarterback. I think they look to start fast yet again and force the rookie to play from behind. But, you know, the fan base for the Saints loves Spencer Rattler due to his preseason performance, due to the fact that he stepped up in the Senior Bowl, and just due to the fact that a majority of Saints fans dislike Derek Carr. You know, I think we could see, you know, the Saints potentially open it up here and try to allow Rattler to see if he can win the job, maybe second half, regular season. I just, you look at the big picture, the fan base does not love Derek Carr, and they got the Rattler, the snake coming out. I tell you what, I lean to Tampa Bay. If the hurricane didn't happen, I think I'd be a little bit more bought in because, again, when players have family, friends, in certain areas, you don't know how they're going to respond, even though they're away, obviously, at Tulane. That's always an issue. Yeah. But I do feel we got points. I think it's a low enough total that we could get over this. Give me Tampa Bay and give me over.
A personally and logistically challenging week for that Tampa organization. But Joe, although I think Spencer Rattler was the right decision in favor of Jake Haener to fill in for the injured Derek Carr, I do think it's a struggle on Sunday. I like laying the 3.5, albeit in a divisional game with the Buccaneers. Here's an intriguing spread, Lisey guy. Largest of the weekend, 9.5. In favor of the Eagles off the bye, hosting the Browns. Says a lot about Cleveland, not so much about Philly, who was an even 500, but used the early bye week to get their playmakers healthy. We expect A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith back for this matchup against the Browns. 42.5 is the total. Is it too big of a spread in Philly on Sunday?
I think it is. Now, Cleveland was a public play from the short perspective last week, going up against Washington. The spread is 3.5. Lackluster team. They're going to show out in Washington. Smith. Now they go on the road. Coming out of a bye week, it looks like the Eagles should win. Even with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith potentially coming back, I'm going to take the points. 9.5, I don't love the Browns in any capacity, but I'll tell you what, I'm still, even though I love Jalen Hurts and I love the offense for Philly, Ben, I don't love the defense. I need to see it. Oh. Prove me wrong in terms of this type of situation. If Philly's legit, they win this game 33-10. I'll take the 9.5 just as a blind play on Cleveland bouncing back after last week's loss.
Yeah, Lisey guy, you would think that is the right way to look at it, right? Philly has not been great this year. They're 2-2. They have covered in both wins. One in Sao Paulo in Brazil on a slippery track against the Packers, and then outright as a short underdog in New Orleans. The defense is still struggling under Vic Fangio. They got to get that figured out. Philadelphia, sixth worst total defense, giving up more than 365 yards per game. But is Deshaun Watson, are the Browns the offense to take advantage and expose that? Cleveland has been sacked, or Deshaun Watson has been sacked. The Browns have allowed 26 sacks this year. Nobody else in the NFL has allowed at least 20 or more. And Deshaun Watson, calling him mediocre would be the nicest compliment he has received in the last 2 years. Subpar would be nice to refer to the way he is playing quarterback at this moment. Less than 200 yards in every game this year, but some of it is not on him. It's the offensive line that can't block anybody at this moment. Philly should win. Not in the business of laying 9.5 in this spot. The rest of the Sunday slate, we fire around up next here on Football Full Circle. Come back and join us on a Football Friday on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Next up in our full breakdown and preview with some bets for the Sunday slate in the NFL, we head to Tennessee. Joe, the Titans, a 2.5-point home favorite against Indianapolis, total 42.5. If the line holds, and it should, with Tennessee as the favored side, it will be the first game for the Titans as the favorites since the 2022 NFL season, an underdog since the start of a year ago. Should the Titans, at 1-3, albeit off the bye, be favored against anybody in the NFL?
No, their quarterback was banged up against Miami, Will Levis. You have Mason Rudolph that did absolutely nothing in regards to the passing attack. And on the flip side, even though Indy lost, Joe Flacco puts up 370 yards of passing in regards to that offense. Do we really believe that Tennessee is like the better team here? I don't. I understand you have an old quarterback, but he's playing at an elite level. I don't know. Maybe he's taking the sauce. You tell me, because ever since Joe Flacco came back in the league, that guy's dealing sevens. Every game is like a 300-yard performance, right? And we know that Indy typically struggles with Jacksonville in Duval County. But I'm going to take a shot. Give me Indy plus the points. I think they have the better coach. I think they have the better quarterback. And I just think they have better weapons, even though they're banged up. Give me the Colts outright.
Yeah, Joe, more than likely we're going to see both of the second-year quarterbacks. Perhaps if it was the veterans, Joe Flacco and Mason Rudolph, this game might actually be more interesting. But Anthony Richardson back at practice yesterday as a full participant, that's a good sign. Honestly, I would probably trust Flacco a little bit more right now, but Jonathan Taylor expected to be back dealing with an ankle injury as well. That's good news for the Colts. Frankly, I just don't think the Titans should be favored in this spot. The Houston Texans, 6.5-point favorite on Sunday in Foxborough. Joe, it's a new week for new quarterbacks around the NFL, and that includes the third overall pick in 2024, Drake May, set to make his NFL starting debut for the Patriots on Sunday. You're a touchdown underdog at home, total 37.5. How do you think the debut looks for Drake May on Sunday?
People are buying in. The line's down to 6.5 here on you know, FanDuel here in New Jersey. And I said it at the start of the week, whether Drake May started or not, this is one of my favorite picks of the week. I'm buying into Houston. The way they shut down from a defensive perspective, Josh Allen, 9-30, 30%. The way you have a defensive-minded head coach in DeMeco Ryans, they typically haven't been a good favorite. But I believe in C.J. Stroud enough to know that I think they're going to put up at least 24 to 28 points on that defense. What is Drake May going to give you? You tell me. I mean, maybe a couple of turnovers. I mean, I'm taking Houston. I think they win this game, Ben, comfortably by 10 points or more. Now under a touchdown, I'm going to lay it. I know the numbers suggest the Patriots from the ATS perspective, but give me Houston and the over. The over's light, too. 37.5 for that Houston offense.
Listen, the Texans, it's the one blemish with C.J. Stroud. They're 4-1 straight up this year. They're 1-3-1 against the spread. They've been favored in every game. They're 4-8-1 against the number as a favorite with Stroud as the starting quarterback. And we know that New England, if they can run the football successfully, and you would think with a rookie quarterback, they are going to look to run a lot, they can keep games closer than anticipated. And the Texans have not been great defending the run, more than 120 yards per game on the ground. Lisi, I don't know who wins the game. I think it could be closer. I just don't think it's a great spot. Frankly, I don't think there's any good spots for Drake May to start this year. Houston gets after the quarterback, one of nine teams entering week six that sacked a quarterback at least 15 times so far this season. And the Patriots allowing 19 sacks already this year. I think Drake May over 25.5 rushing yards to utilize the athleticism because he is going to need to might be a look. I would go Patriots team total under 15.5. Lisi guy, the year of the dog, 5.5-point underdogs or greater, 9-5-1 against the spread. Last week, only two on the Sunday slate. This week, five, including the Patriots. We've talked about the Eagles laying 9.5 against the Browns, the Commanders catching 6.5 against the Ravens. Here's a compelling spot. 5.5-point spread in favor of the Packers in Lambeau on Sunday afternoon, hosting the Arizona Cardinals. 47.5 is the total. Is this game closer than the odds might indicate?
It's possible, but I think Green Bay's back. I watched that game with Jordan Love in the second half. Their defense shut down Matt Stafford. And I know Arizona got the victory on the road against San Fran as a 7.5-point dog. But this is a different animal. Again, you know, I don't know if their defense is going to be able to contain Josh Jacobs and the rushing attack. That has been a concern for Arizona, not just this year, but even at the end of last year, they wore down. And I like Green Bay here. I don't even know if Jordan Love has to do all that much. I think they could grind out a victory with the rushing attack, laying 5.5. I lean to the under 47.5, but give me Green Bay laying the wood.
Yeah, Arizona, not good against the run. Third worst rushing defense in the NFL. I think it's a big Josh Jacobs day. But Arizona has been good covering numbers with Jonathan Gannon as a dog. 11-9 ATS. They covered week one against Buffalo as a 6.5-point underdog near a touchdown last week. Of course, they came back to beat San Francisco outright. The Packers finally a win with Jordan Love starting a game under center and an impressive one last week on the road against the Rams in L.A. Speaking of L.A., the other Los Angeles team fresh off a bye and much healthier both defensively. Some time from Justin Herbert to rest up and his two tackles. Joe Alt, Rashawn Slater expected to be back for the Chargers. L.A., though, Joe, three-point road favorite in Mile High against a Broncos team that has won three games in a row and is also 3-1 ATS as an underdog this year. 35.5 is the total, lowest of the weekend. Just how many points are we seeing at altitude?
About 13, I think. You get 13 points, maybe. I'll alt it down and take the under. I don't see any way this game goes through the total. And, you know, they blew through it last week with the Raiders and Denver. I know Denver playing well. I'm going to take a shot. You know, Sean Payton found a little something just the way he did last year in regards to getting on a roll. They're playing at home. Patrick Surtain and that defense have become opportunistic. Not a knock in regards to the Chargers and Herbert. I know Harbaugh is there. But give me the home team. And, I can't back the over in any capacity. Both coaches want to run it. Controlled type of passing attacks.
Yeah.
Give me Denver in the under.
And that's the key, Joe. I think if the Chargers are going to get back to what worked so well in the opening 2 weeks with a fully healthy offensive line, it's a heavy dosage of J.K. Dobbins. It's a lot of grinding out the clock. I think that total does make sense. Again, Denver 4-1 against the spread this year. Another three-point number with an AFC West team at home catching points as the dog. It'll be Aiden O'Connell under center for the Raiders. They're a three-point home dog in Sin City against the Steelers. 36.5 the total for this one in Las Vegas. Joe, how do you see it playing out?
Yeah, I'm rolling with Justin Fields, and I understand there's pressure. If he loses, potentially they go back to Russell Wilson. But again, you know, Justin Fields still had his team in a position to win. The fact that the Raiders have moved on from Aiden O'Connell, it's potentially a good move. We talked about it earlier in the week. Yeah. But again, I just don't have confidence right now in their identity. Brock Bowers did get involved. I think he'll continue. Look for him to eat. But I'm going to take the Steelers in regards to this matchup. I like the over, though, Ben. 36.5 for both of those teams. I think the Steelers can run it. I think Fields can make some big plays over the top. I lean Steelers, and I like the over. So, again, I think Fields will be 4-2 overall, but we'll see how it plays out.
It is really interesting, Joe. Of course, Pittsburgh off to a perfect 3-0 start. They've dropped two straight. They've been favored in both of those games, but still pretty good as a favorite since the end of the Big Ben era, starting in 2022, 10-7 against the number. We talked about the Chargers, the only team in the NFL under in every game this year. Four games, four unders by an average of 9.9 points per game. The Steelers under in 4 of 5 by an average of a touchdown per game as well. More on FFC next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it's Football Full Circle. Three more games from the NFL Sunday slate to preview before we get to college football in week number 7. Lisi, guy, a game that has peculiar timing. 4:25 p.m. Eastern time in Charlotte. The Panthers host the Falcons, 6.5-point spread in favor of Atlanta on the road. 46.5 is the total, working down from even earlier this morning, 47.5. A game that just feels primed for 1 p.m. Eastern on a quiet Sunday in Carolina gets a 4:25 p.m. Eastern time bid. What do you make of the matchup? That's a lot of points to lay in a road divisional game for Atlanta.
Yeah, I'll take a shot. I'll take Carolina and Andy Dalton to potentially bounce back in this matchup. And that's why I looked dumbfounded in last segment. I can't believe they're showcasing this game at 4:25. I told you Houston and New England would have been a better matchup at 4.25 than this game. I mean, I understand that Kirk Cousins' 500-yard performance. I'm still not sold on Atlanta's defense. Again, 6.5 is a huge number to lay on the road. Yep. For Atlanta. And I know Carolina has nothing, but in this type of situation, now in a primetime slot, give me, you know, for 4:00, give me the Carolina Panthers, and I lean to the under. I don't know if Atlanta's going to be able to duplicate what they had. Carolina might even run the football to keep it close.
Falcons two straight overs, both in NFC South games, two wins for Atlanta. They should win this game, we would presume. Can they cover land near a touchdown? But if they do win, that's a perfect 3-0 start for Kirk Cousins and the Dirty Birds in the NFC South this season. The Panthers an underdog in every game since the start of last year. Now just 5-15-2. Against the spread. They've been over in all three games that Andy Dalton has started. A ton of defensive injuries for the Panthers that have just continued to add up on that side of the ball. Because of it, Joe, my favorite bet in the game is Bijan Robinson, over 95.5 rushing plus receiving yards. Got to get him involved in a spot where that offense can take advantage. The game of the week, at least America's game of the week, the Cowboys and the Lions at the Star in Dallas on Sunday. Dallas, 3-point home underdog. Lisa, guys, it say more about the Lions? They're laying a field goal on the road in Arlington, or more about the Cowboys being 0-2 at home this year?
Well, I think that's part of it, right? And the fact that, you know, Jared Goff coming off a dynamic performance, 18 of 18 against Seattle, 250 plus yards, two touchdowns. I mean, that's as good as it gets in regards to your quarterback heading into this matchup. And you're right, 0-2. I mean, do we believe Dallas is going to be 0-3 at home and potentially, you know, almost 500 in regards to that? Or are we going to buy into the fact that they got right on the road in Pittsburgh and their defense potentially is starting to bounce back into form by limiting Justin Fields in that offense? I'm going to say that this game was 21-20 last year. This was the game with Dan Campbell missing the three, you know, two-point attempts. If they get up, they're going to look to make a statement. I lean Detroit, but I like the over 52.5. How does this game go under? I know last year it did, but I just see both quarterbacks looking to eat here.
Yeah, it is interesting, Joe. Is the game, if you remember, Dan Skipper reported tackle eligible, but they didn't make the signal clear to the officiating crew, so it took away the two-point conversion in Week 17. That's a story for a different time. The Lions favored in all four games this year, fresh off the bye. They're 3-1, both straight up and against the spread. They're one of the best favorite teams in the NFL in the last 2 years, 14-6 ATS, 40-18 against the number with Dan Campbell at the helm of this organization. Best cover percentage in the NFL since the start of 2021. It makes sense that they're laying three. I don't like laying three in this spot. Wouldn't advocate for the Cowboys as a home underdog either. 52.5, highest total of the weekend, Joe. The Lions only over in our most recent game where we saw Detroit Monday night in Motor City. They put up 42 against the Seahawks. The Cowboys, two wins on the road, both going under. Their first three games, including both at home, over. Maybe we do see some points, and it would be a big one on Sunday afternoon. Sunday Night Football, also kind of an interesting matchup. The 1-4 Bengals and the 2-3 Giants face off in MetLife. 3.5-point spread in favor of Cincy on the road, 47.5. Joe, you've been trying to buy back in the Bengals. They're laying more than a field goal on the road. Do you continue to buy stock into Cincy?
No. Yes and no, because, again, I believe in Burrow. I think the offense will continue, right? He's one of the most prolific quarterbacks over the past few weeks. But I got to be honest. I'm buying into Daniel Jones just as much. Back-to-back 250-yard performances in terms of this matchup. I buy more into the Giants because I think they're still playing for something. I know Cincinnati technically is still in it, but this team after that gut-wrenching loss in overtime, I don't know what you're going to get. Are they checked out? Chase might want his money. T. Higgins might have one foot out the door. I know Joe Burrow's probably dialed in, but can you guarantee me we're going to get 150% out of Cincinnati that we got last week when they knew that their season could be potentially turned around in a heartbeat if they knock off Lamar Jackson? I'm not so sure, Ben.
Yeah, I don't know, Lisa guy. I don't. The Giants only over last week in the upset over Seattle, but they've covered in three straight. This will be the 21st consecutive game. The G-Men have been booked as a dog. They're 11-8-1 against the number in the previous 20. The Bengals over in four straight games. The defense has been atrocious. It's an interesting Sunday night game. I'll just say this about Cincinnati, all right? We've known the death curse that is an 0-3 start. The Bengals did that. Now they're 1-4. They can ill afford to lose like another game for the next 2 months. But if there was a time, Joe, for Cincy to rally and earn a playoff berth, it would be now. Entering week six, we expected the AFC to be a gauntlet this year. Entering week six, only six of the 16 teams in that conference have a winning record. So it's a long shot at 1-4. But the Bengals, if they start winning, might just carve out a spot in at least playoff contention. Some college football handicaps, rapid fire, like an RPO for the big games that we have on Sunday. It's October 12th, and it's a dandy. That's next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Saturday, October 12th, 2024, a day to remember in college football, despite what the mastermind might want you to believe. It is going to be an incredible second full Saturday in October. Three ranked versus ranked top 25 tilts and a ton of other significant games that feature teams that are ranked against teams maybe just on the outside looking in. Lisi Guy, we went through some of the marquee matchups yesterday, but let's talk those three ranked versus ranked games again. Two versus three, Ohio State and Oregon. The Buckeyes, a 3.5-point road favorite in Autzen. Ole Miss, ninth in the country against 13th-ranked LSU in Death Valley behind you at night. Also laying 3.5. That's an intriguing number in the Red River rivalry. For the first time as SEC foes, number one, Texas, a 14.5-point favorite against 18th-ranked Oklahoma, who we learned today will be without top wide receiver Deion Burks for the worst offense in the SEC. Lisi, the three ranked versus ranked games, give us a quick pick.
Yeah, I'll give you all dogs. I like all dogs in all these matchups. I like Texas, Oklahoma. I like Michael Hawkins. I'm more concerned in regards, and the reason I love the defense for Oklahoma. They're battle-tested. Yeah. They're opportunistic. They make second-half adjustments. Quinn Ewers might have some ring rust. I'll take my shot. This kid, Michael Hawkins, gives it 150%. The kid reacts. I love him. I don't know if they win, but catch it 14.5. Give me Oklahoma to potentially be in the number. And then I can't go against LSU. I mean, Ole Miss hasn't knocked off LSU since 2008. You know, Jackson Dart.
In Baton Rouge.
In Baton Rouge. They haven't beaten them right since 2000. Last time they were there, they got boat raced 45-20. And I'll say this. I said it time and time again, and I'll say it tomorrow. I'm not sold on Will Howard. Good, not elite. Good, not elite. You could do it against Iowa. Let's see you do it against Dan Lanning and the Oregon Ducks in Eugene. I want to see that. Show me that, and then maybe I'll buy in. I'm not buying in now. Biggest game of his career, even though he won a Big 12 championship a couple of years ago. I don't care.
I would agree with you, though. Two versus three in this spot. I'll lay the 3.5 with Ohio State. Not sold on Oregon's defensive front. Sure, you can hold UCLA, the worst rushing offense in the Big Ten, and a Michigan State team that is one-dimensional to 60 yards or less. Who even remotely compares offensively to Ohio State that Oregon has seen this year? Ashton Gentry and the Boise State Broncos, who put up more than 220, and Gentry at 192 and three touchdowns. The algo loves it, but my own algo is pretty happy with it as well. For the Ole Miss and LSU game, I'll take running Rebs over 32.5 for their team total. Not sold on LSU's defense just yet, and I do think we see some points tomorrow night. And then I'll go team total, but under for Oklahoma. I'm just not sure where they stack it up against a really stout Texas defense and up front. They've got no running game. They've got none of their top five wide receivers. And you've got Michael Hawkins Jr. in his second career start. He's been the leading rusher, Joe, for OU in each of his first two games. He came in midway through the second quarter against Tennessee in 22 rushing yards, led the way. I think it's a struggle for OU offensively. Do think that game is close, though. Somehow, some way. 0-5 against the spread. The last five favorites in the last 12 years that have been laying double digits or more in the Red River rivalry. All right, Lisey, some other great games that maybe lose a little bit of luster, like USC and Penn State. The Nittany Lions, number 4 in the country, but now only a 3.5-point favorite at the LA Memorial Coliseum. The Trojans falling out of the AP Top 25 after getting beat by Minnesota. What do you like?
I'm gonna roll the dice. This is a Lincoln Riley game, and again, I think they have the better quarterback here, Miller Moss. I know the line's going down. You know, smart money banging on USC. They've won 3 straight in the series, but again, I can't buy into Drew Aller just yet. That team should have smacked around UCLA last week, and they were walking through the motions at home. Now it's a West Coast trip. I know that Minnesota rushed for a 193 on the ground. And expect Allen and Singleton to potentially eat. But USC, I think, can make a statement here. Speed kills, baby.
I need that Nick Singleton number. He is on track to be back. They are not posting it as of yet. I'll be looking at the rushing yards numbers for that game between USC and Penn State. Colorado, K-State, Iowa State, West Virginia, and a great Saturday of college football. We'll see you on College Football Today tomorrow starting at 9 a.m. Eastern. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. FFC returns on Monday, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.